Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. While the trade season has certainly started, we'll be picking apart all the aspects of the Blake Griffin trade. We stick on the topic of trade news as we discuss Mirotic and Munro's fit in their respective teams. LeBron going to Golden State? Surely nonsense. We'll be discussing the All-Star injury replacements and whether the Wizards are actually a better team without Wall. And in light of all the recent NBA injuries, we'll be doing an off-topic of our own unfortunate mishaps. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. From wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Helps us out a lot. Rating and review, all of that good stuff. My name is Nick Busink. I am your host, co-host today. And I had a Bucks night this week, mate.
Well done, lad.
Yeah.
Becoming an adult.
Bucks night, you know, like, it's like, oh, this guy with these strippers.
Is this a Milwaukee? For those that don't know, because different things are different parts of the world. We're talking like a Milwaukee Bucks theme night.
What other names do they go by? Like Bucks night, Stag do.
Stag. And, oh, fuck, what is it in America?
I don't know.
Because Ali was telling me about this.
Is it not called a Bucks night in America?
It's not. It definitely isn't.
Right.
But we have lots of American listeners, so please let us know.
yes, please.
You lovely people. We can easily just Google it, but we prefer to find out from the people. Mm. We want to hear it from the source themselves. But,
damn right.
I like that, Nick. I also noticed one thing. Whenever you say good morning, you sound like Bill Murray, where he says good morning Vietnam. You're like, good morning Vietnam.
That's not Bill Murray, mate. That's the late Robin Williams.
Oh,
good
shit.
Good morning, Vietnam. Yeah. Yeah, mate. Late, great.
They're both hilariously funny.
They are.
Yes.
And with me today...
I digress.
And with me today, episode 2.16. We have the J-Man. How are you? Jack Manuel?
I'm well, mate. I feel bad about disrespecting the late, great, incomparable Robin Williams. But Bill Murray, it's a... I think if I'm... going to mistake him for someone. If it's Bill Murray, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Murray is a great in his own right.
It's not like I was mistaking him for Dane Cook or something.
Oh God! every time Dane Cook comes up in conversation, which thankfully is not every day in my life. Like, thank God, thank Christ. But I think of BoJack Horseman. It's like all the major D's have been investigated: Dick Van Dyke, David Duchovny, and of course Dane Cook, who we all know is a thief. I'm like, I just fucking lose it. Oh, for those of you out there, so BoJack Horseman, it is brilliant. It'll make you feel. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry.
It's just like JBT.
Exactly. But, like, cry out of sadness, not cry out of my ears are bleeding.
True.
Yes, we are...
Self-burn.
Self-burn. Beauty Manuel Scale, mate. Staple here. For those of you who are new, this is a scale that we've created where we sum up news, how likely things are to happen in the NBA. So we go on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact, depending on how likely things are to happen, mate. Clippers.
I like it.
Been in the news a bit lately.
Just a little.
Rightly so. Clippers made the right move in trading Blake Griffin. Now, I know you have sort of studied this ad hoc, mate.
I have, my friend. Obviously, listening to the pods, been a part of OTG and such. I've written many articles about Blake Griffin, so if you're wanting to check out a few of them, make sure you hit up otgbasketball.com.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a really great article also by Howard Becker Bleacher Report saying that despite the fact that it was the right move, it didn't make it any less cold or soulless. it seems like we forget that these guys are players and not assets. It's almost like they're reduced to being like almost insignificant. It's like it's not like inhumane.
They're tools, mate. They're tools to yeah. suit a fan agenda. And I completely
yeah,
agree
and,
with
not,
that.
Not a fan agenda, well, a rich billionaire's agenda.
Yeah.
But I do agree that it was the right move. Very savvy move from this new look front office from the Clippers. Lawrence Frank, Jerry West as a new advisor. And I believe they've got a salary cap advisor, guru via the Oklahoma City Thunder, who's now sort of running things down there. So, and I think that they struck nicely because no one saw this coming. So if this had leaked out, literally no one. If this had leaked out, then this could have changed a lot of things. Like we hear about DeAndre Lou Williams every single day.
Hmm.
But Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons are desperate, to say the least. Stan Van is also running the front office there in Detroit, so it's almost like he's making a move to save his face, save his job, so to speak. A lot of sort of front offices, GMs are doing that. Look at New Orleans, how they've been sort of operating things for the past 3 or 4 years. But it is the right move from the Clippers because it gives them flexibility going forward. There was a rumor for LeBron James services early in the week. That's been sort of discredited a little bit lately, but who knows? But I think the important part of this entire thing is that Kendall Jenner and Blake Griffin may no longer be an item. And that makes me very sad. And unless they can work out long distance...
That is possibly the best thing to happen to Blake Griffin's career. The inevitable breakup, unless it's already happened. I don't follow like TMZ and shit like that.
Come on, Nick, mate. It's 2018. TMZ, FTW.
God damn. don't say that. Ever
it's
again.
It's a fact, though, Nick. It's a fact.
What, this specific one, or that TMZ is amazing?
Both.
Okay. Well,
look,
I'm,
everything else is fake news.
I'm giving this one a slight. I'm knocking this one slightly. I think they're possibly rebuilding at the wrong time, considering they're the second team in LA. They're not going to have the same pull as the Lakers, who currently have more assets and salary cap space. So, a lot of people. Obviously, they're opening their salary cap to lure people in. I mean, LA is still a beautiful place to live. But could this trade... Hey, where from the outside, people see this trade as, hey, you promised this guy's 5-year Supermax deal and you traded him halfway through the very next season. What sort of loyalty does that spell? I'd rather just go to the Lakers, who have a young core going at the moment, and... you're a better franchise. Lakers are a more profitable franchise than the Clippers. Your name is going to be up in lights at the Lakers, not so much at the Clippers. You know, you get me? So I think that...
I get you, but I disagree with that fact because I don't think the cachet of the Lakers is there anymore. Magic Johnson has sort of brought it back somewhat, giving it that sort of star allure. But there's been rumors like coming out on Twitter and such that, you know, the role that he has there, despite being like, you know, the head of the front office, whatever you want to call him, alongside Rob Pelinka, is sort of like he comes in, comes out, does his job, a la sort of Phil Jackson style a little bit. But obviously, Magic Johnson doesn't get the same, you know, criticism because he's Magic Johnson. Who would want to criticize a man that's name is Magic and has
exactly.
the most wonderful, magical smile I've ever seen in my life? I feel horrible. It's like bashing a baby puppy.
Clubbing baby seals.
But exactly. But I hear what you're saying in the fact that if you're going like Lakers or Clippers, like the rumors are growing stronger for LeBron to go to the Lakers. But in terms of where the Clippers are at, if he's looking to fight for a championship, the Clippers have a decent squad there. DeAndre's good. Avery Bradley's a nice piece. Tobias Harris
could have been balling all year, and that's continued through to LA as well. Like he's
been
great.
I hear it from both sides. I get it from Detroit's side as well because you know they want to get bums on seats down there. Because,
yeah,
you know,
I like it for Detroit more so than the Clippers, just because like Doc isn't a rebuild coach. They're obviously going towards that rebuild, but why choose the Clippers over the Lakers? Like every if you're looking at LA, you've got Magic and Pelinka there. Pelinka is one of the most well respected, or was one of the most well respected agents in the game, and now he's a president of basketball operations or whatever title you want to call him. He is still an extremely well respected guy. The Buss family has been part of that Lakers franchise for bloody seems like eons. And have created so much success there.
As well.
It all comes down to that for me. So I'm knocking it down a bit. I love the flexibility, like you said, all the things that you said, the flexibility, everything like that. Perfect. Love it. I love that they're actually moving on from this, from that big three that they needed to for ages. Their stagnation in the playoffs was just terrible, and that's unfortunately what that team will be remembered for. I think. Lob City was fun.
Series.
Exactly. Like Lob City was great, but essentially the feuding, maybe feuding's probably a bit of a strong word, but the unrest, I guess, in that locker room and just their lack of anything, chemistry. Really. Their lack of success. You can't really call regular season success. Like, it doesn't matter.
Just tell the Raptors.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, that's what they're going to be remembered for. So, I like that they've finally moved on from that. When they signed Blake to that Supermax, I was just like, what are you guys doing? But they obviously had other plans in the forthcoming. But it just, it doesn't sit right with me that they signed the Supermax and then fucked him off. I think players can. I think players will look badly on that.
Yeah, look, I see that as well. But you look at what's happening in Boston, and you talk about the respect factor for Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson. Mm. I think Jerry West has that as much as anyone in the league. You know, a former
that's
guy
true.
Who sort of
that's true. That's true.
Help.
I mean, he's the NBA logo, mate. He's the
exactly. Help build the dynasty out in Golden State as well, but. We've gone on with this one plenty, Nick. But there were more trades and assets acquired during the trade deadline, which is happening in a matter of days, mind you. Thursday, I believe. American time, obviously, wherever you are across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Nikola Mirotic and Greg Monroe, Nicholas, both on new teams. Are they perfect fits for their new teams, New Orleans and Boston? What do you got for me?
Well, I love the Mirotic trade. I think that's a general consensus as well. For a long time... especially now that Boogie's injured, you know, doing the sign of the cross there. Hope he gets better. It's just awful. Like filling the role of, well, not exactly the role of Boogie. I don't think anyone in the league can fill Boogie's shoes. But you get wing shooting, great player. You know, I'm not exactly following. I don't exactly follow Mirotic's game. To a T, I just know that he is another amazing offensive option. Great shooting, can just get points on the board, which is what they've been. It's what they've been after for a while, adding sort of wing offense. Because besides Boogie and Davis, actually Justin Woods the Bulls. Drew Holiday has been very underrated.
Right,
he's been really good. Oh god, like. It's a shame that he is in the golden age of point guards because he's great. I love him.
He can have
games
contract...
where he absolutely catches fire.
Yeah, that contract was really widely disregarded and sort of unheralded, so to speak. But you know, he's sort of earning his keep right now, and I think he's helped keep the Pelicans afloat in the absence of DeMarcus. But I like this also because it shows. That the organization is showing faith in Anthony Davis. Like, we're going to make moves for you. You know, they made they got a couple of 10 days as well lately. So I like it in the sense that, you know, they're showing Anthony Davis that they want to win still. I think ultimately they are still an eighth seed, and with Nikola Mirotic, that certainly helps them. I think next year as well, if Boogie was to get back at some stage, that adding him as well into the mix would be amazing. But on to Greg Monroe. Absolutely, I think people have very short memories. Absolutely balled out last year for the Milwaukee Bucks in the series against the Raptors off the bench. I think he is the perfect. He's like Enes Kanter juiced up. I think he's what the modern prototypical offensive big man is going to be these days. They're going to be looking to be a Greg Monroe. I think what you know the Nets have right now with the Jahlil Okafor, I think that's the ceiling that he could achieve, and I think it'd be great. Greg Monroe, in terms of his fit inside Boston as well, you know, you look at their bigs, Aaron Baines, Greg Monroe, Al Horford. You know, you combine Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe as your second and third bigs. That's absolutely perfect. Mm. One's great defensively, sort of does all the little nitty-gritty things. Greg Monroe does some really nice offensive things. Decent jump shot, really good on the inside, nice rebounder, good from the elbow. I think that this, and the fact that they didn't have to give up absolutely anything, you know, because he was rumored to go to New Orleans, you know, the starting role, playing alongside at center with Anthony Davis, but they could only offer him $2.2 million, I believe. So the one-year deal after the buyout from Phoenix of $5 million via that designated player exemption from Gordon Hayward's injury was just too much of a lure. And, you know, he could help them push them to a finals appearance.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think his value has diminished a bit considering he's barely played the past, what, 3 years, 2 years? Something like
but
that.
But you look at Bledsoe as well. That's exactly what Phoenix did with Bledsoe too. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, like obviously, like when you don't see a player play at his full potential for so long, he can definitely get undervalued. I think likening him to Enes Kanter is great. He's sort of this undersized traditional center. So he's not a starting unit caliber. Like Enes Kanter, I think it's too traditional for that. But on a second unit, he can put up points, grab your offensive rebounds, grab your defensive rebounds, and just be such a helpful piece off the bench. And so, yeah, I mean, for someone like Boston, Greg Monroe is pretty much perfect. You know, having that second piece, having that off the bench piece that can still get your buckets.
Yep,
I think that's. I think that's pretty well sorted. Hashtag fact. We both
fact. Hashtag fact.
We
double
both
fact.
Love that these teams made this move. And even for the contrary, like I'm not so sure on the specifics of the Monroe trade, but the Mirotić trade was still good for the Bulls as well.
It was, but they also, it's similar to the Jimmy Butler trade in the sense that they gave up that little bit too much that they didn't have to. Like the swap of the picks where Minnesota got back that, I think, that pick that, the swap of the picks. And then they also gave up a second rounder that they didn't have to. Like, it's not like New Orleans would have, like, vetoed the deal if they didn't give up that second rounder. Mm. And, I mean, they gave up Omer Asik's contract and that first rounder for Mirotić and a second rounder. I think there's a swap in there as well. So I think Dell Demps did a decent job there of sort of, you know, juicing everything out of that he could, you know, get off some, you know, decent contract. But yes, a first rounder, it's probably going to be, you know, somewhere from, you know, maybe 14 to 19, depending on where New Orleans finishes in the season. But it works well for the Bulls. They're acquiring those assets. And Omer Asik returns to Chicago, which is a nice little story. But a not-so-nice story that I got everyone in uproar.
A non-story, mate. A non-story. Well, okay.
I like it, Nick. Not
the headline is a non-story, but the motivation for the headline is what is creating a bit of a controversy here.
Yes.
So LeBron, I'll take it. I don't want to step on your toes here, mate.
You take it, Nick.
I'll take it. Okay.
You take it, big fella.
All right, LeBron to the Golden State, as Chris Haynes has reported, is the most far-fetched fake news of the season. Mate, is this the most far-fetched fake news of the season?
Well, I think it is when you take the topic itself and see how outrageous it is. And then I think we need... you got on your soundboard there, fake news, Nicholas.
I don't.
Fake news.
But, like, that is surely a staple that we need to add. In fact, I'm going to search it right now.
Yeah, well, I think, like, you don't need it because our Donald Trump impression is Donnie T, the shark hater, Paul Lubbock himself.
Huge
fake
news.
LeBron to Golden State. He came out and sort of, you know, denied this rumor vehemently when asked by the media, I think, the next day. He's like, I think the quote was, he's like, if it doesn't come from me, you know, it's not real. But I think you know, the starters, everyone has their theories of what happened. And I said I'd tell you during the pod, Nick, just to sort of save it. It's not super juicy, but I think this was leaked, not from LeBron, but from LeBron's camp, whether it's his agents, whether it's Clutch Media, Rich Paul, Maverick Carter, whoever it is, mm-hmm. to sort of stir some controversy in the sense that, and the starter said that it's sort of preparing everyone for the fact that LeBron's going to leave.
Hmm.
I think it's sort of to prepare everyone for the fact that, you know, LeBron thrives under the controversy, and it takes away from the fact that the Cavs are doing, you know, pretty paltry, especially after that horrible loss last night to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
So, and LeBron loves to thrive in the controversy, to thrive in the drama. So it elevates it more, and it sort of, you know, it adds to more storylines. And LeBron just adds it in because it sort of takes a little bit away of a storyline away from Golden State. It just it creates this whole media circus that doesn't need to be there. But LeBron sort of enjoys it. He thrives in it, so to speak. So I think there's elements of that from LeBron's camp. I don't think, obviously, this is not going to happen. And it's impossible.
No, never. It'll never happen.
Thompson isn't going anywhere.
Hashtag.
It's an alternative.
Hashtag
it's
fact.
Fact. It's a
hashtag
fact.
Fact.
More facts.
That this is so far fetched. It's crazy. But the reasons behind the leak are so clever to help motivate Cavs to do something, maybe to stir some unrest in the Warriors, which, you know, they seem pretty ironclad. But you never know. You never know. Like, you've got to try anything, you know? Like, all of these. This is like Cold War tactics right here. It's like he said, she said. This is crazy.
It stirs up the front office a little bit, sort of like hearing, okay, well, LeBron's going to go to Golden State. Well, if Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert, does hearing that make you go, okay, we need to make this move for George Hill, DeAndre Jordan, Avery Bradley, whoever the hell it is? But because those rumors were so strong early in the trade deadline, but they seem to have diminished quite a bit. Whether Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert are remaining steadfast in the fact that, look, LeBron, we know you're going to leave, bro. So we want to think about this franchise's long-term future, not your short-term future. So, I mean, there's going to be, it seems like every week there's some sort of LeBron Cavs news that we'll be talking about on JBT. But it is far-fetched. There's a Pokemon called Farfetch'd, isn't it, Nicholas?
Yes, there is. Yeah, it is more far-fetched than far-fetched.
I need to be more prepared in how I prepare you in terms of your sample. We need to get like the far. What is? How does it sound? Far-fetched.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't.
It's a bird, isn't it?
It is a bird. How do you not know this?
Yeah. Like, I do. I'm just
Pokemon.
You're the Pokemon master. You're I'm Ash Ketchum of JBT, so to speak. Hopefully you got that hat and you're twisting around right now because this Manuel one is going to leave you a little bit shook, my friend.
The recent news
in the injury to John Wall is said to have him up to eight weeks. Knowing this in the recent history, obviously he's had some knee issues in the past, especially you know, prior to this year and even before, you know, this cleanup surgery was going to happen. The Wizards front office were, one, wrong to offer him a max deal in the summer. And right now we're seeing, are the Wizards a better team without John Wall?
We were not wrong to give him the max. Hashtag alternative fact. Any team would give John Wall a maximum contract. We were wrong to give Porter the max. But that was so that Brooklyn didn't steal it. unfortunately.
Making people pay.
But his injury history has been, like, it's dwarfed by Beal's injury history. He's been fairly consistent. Not nearly, like, over the past 3 years, I'd say Beal has been better than Wall in terms of consistency on the court. I don't think it's worrying. At the moment, a healthy John Wall is an all NBA point guard.
Yes,
he is amazing. He facilitates for his team. Like Beal's numbers have dropped since Wall has been out. Not so much his points, but more his efficiency. Obviously, you don't have an all star. Yeah, you don't have a all his usage would have gone. His usage has gone up, but his efficiency is down. understandably so, you don't have someone like John Wall feeding you. So that is completely understandable. So to say that John Wall doesn't make the team better, it's false, but an unhealthy John Wall is a liability. If he's not making his buckets, which is, you know, like he's a very strong driver. He's extremely quick and explosive. He is not quite a great at drawing fouls, but he is so quick that he can draw fouls easily. He's not a James Harden or a DeMar, but if he's not making his buckets and not getting the fouls, he's not useful offensively. I shouldn't say that. As in, with a shot, but you know what I mean.
Yes. No, because his jump shot isn't his bread and butter.
No.
The one thing I'm slightly worried about, Nick, just coming from an outsider's perspective, is that the PRP injections, for those that don't know, Russell Westbrook had this prior to the season, before training camp. Reggie Jackson had this last year. It was the injuries that sort of left him out, in and out of the Piston squad. Platelet-rich plasma injections are sort of to get the juices going in the knee, so to speak, so everything's, you know, going healthy down there. But there can be adverse effects. So, like, you know, the knee can react badly and require, you know, further complications and such. And it seems that that's what happened with John Wall. I hope this doesn't affect him to the extent that, like, we're looking at what happened with Reggie Jackson now. He continues to have knee issues. Mm. Look at Russell Westbrook. He seems to be going fine. And Russell Westbrook, if you're looking at a comparison in terms of players, you know, they both have John Wall and Russell Westbrook, probably two of the most explosive point guards in today's NBA. Mm-hmm. And obviously they have different games, but, you know, Russell Westbrook is an absolute dynamo, and John Wall probably controls things a little bit more. But yeah, I think everyone in hindsight, it's going to be interesting, these supermax deals. Like, you look at Russell Westbrook, $44 million, when he's 32, 33 years old, it's going to look like an absolutely deplorable contract. But you have to do it.
You have to do it. You need to secure him for the future. It's
the economics of today's NBA.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's what you do. You give that to your star player.
And if you don't give it, someone else will.
And look, this might sound sacrilege as well. Like, Stephen Curry signed that Supermax deal as well. But he's had his ankle issues in the past.
Mm.
You know, we fast forward 4 years into the future. Is Steph Curry going to be the same Steph Curry? Obviously not. Is it going to look like a shitty contract when you're paying him $42 million? Absolutely. But it's just the economics of today's NBA. Mm. And it's interesting how front office are going to manage this, because obviously it was a recent thing in the recent CBA deal with the players' union. But that's a discussion for another day. But speaking of, we talked a little bit about Reggie Jackson, but his teammate, Andre Drummond, was named as an all-star replacement, as was the team he versed last night, a player, Goran Dragic. Are these two deserved replacements for Wall and Love in the all-star game, Nicholas? What, you got this on the scale for me?
I'm giving this one a hashtag Twitter fact.
Because half of it's true?
Because half of it's true.
I agree. Andre Drummond.
I love Goran Dragic. I listened to an interview with him with Zach Lowe. It was probably two weeks ago now. His respect for the game, his respect for the Miami franchise, and, like, Miami's not an easy franchise to play for, but his mindset is brilliant. and just, he seems like an all-round good guy. Like, he's humble, he still drives his, you know, modest car because he's got a family, like, stuff like that. I love Goran Dragic. I think he is a key piece into why the Heat are being the Heat. He's consistent. He's great.
You love someone more. You love someone more.
I love someone more. I do. And it's funny. Andre Drummond, brilliant. He was a snub.
Perfect.
And he deserved to get in. Love it. There's no argument there. He's putting up double-double numbers, averaging for the season. He is well-deserving. He increased his free throw. All that good stuff. However, Ben Simmons in January, and may I just mention, against the Heat as well, I'm going to bring up his numbers, because he absolutely balled against the Heat, and he kept Dragic to, like, 10 points.
Yeah, Ben Simmons has been absolutely outstanding lately. You could also make a really strong case for Kemba Walker, but obviously
he's been balling recently as well. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, like people have been going all over Twitter about his stats. I think he's got, I think his field stats are in terms of splits, 43 from the field, 44 from three, and 87 from the line, which is absolutely ridiculous for a point guard. And he's absolutely holding that Charlotte franchise afloat in terms of any popularity and relevance. He just isn't getting the kudos he deserves, and that is a shame. I'd love to see him, you know, traded on a more respectable franchise, but that's another conversation we had in previous podcasts, so check that out. But yeah, I agree. Ben Simmons deserves this. It is an absolute disgrace. It is racist to Australians, Nicholas. Adam Silver is a racist.
Well, you're putting the race card out? Oh, damn.
He's racist to Aussies. Where are all the Australians in the All-Star game? Where's Aaron Baines?
I know, right?
Where's
Matthew Dellavedova? They're whitewashing. Where's Patty Mills? They're whitewashing the All-Star game just so because they don't have Australians in it. This is an international incident.
It's a Slovene. They put in a bloody Slovenian instead of an Australian. Come on, mate. You know, we're your biggest ally. Donny T wouldn't be afloat if it wasn't for us and Malcolm Turnbull.
I hate the fact that you've coined Donny T. I hate the fact that Donny T is now acceptable now. That is the most frustrating thing about this whole conversation. But I'm going to throw some stats at you, mate.
Take that for
all right.
Stats man's back.
Stats man, yep. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block.
Love it.
61% from the field. This is against the Heat for Simmons. Keeping Dragic to 10 points. Bang. Bang.
Come on.
Come on.
Silver,
come
watching?
On, Silver.
You watching?
It's more the coaches, though. It's the next most voted for person.
Oh, yeah, it is, actually.
Right in that sense. But, you know.
I think all the coaches.
The commissioner gets all the flack for it.
You have the soundboard for this. But they damn rooked him, didn't they?
But they're not going to rook us.
Damn right. Good call there, mate. Good call.
I segued you into the soundboard really
nicely.
Nice.
That's nice. All right. More All-Star talk. Mate, they're getting paid $100K.
I like it. Money.
$100,000 per winning player. So the question is that extra money that's been upped from $50K will make the game more competitive. Mate, where are you putting this one on the scale? Because I'm giving this one just a straight up hashtag alternative fact.
I'm not alternative with it. I'm twittering a little. I'm twittering a little.
You're tweeting,
just because
you're tweeting a little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit of tweeting.
I'm getting the burner going. I'm calling up Steve Kerr, getting him to send me a DM that accidentally gets tweeted out to James. You guys all know. But money speaks, Nick. I mean, money talks. Give me a cash register. I'm segueing you here. Come on.
Oh, bang, mate. I have overutilized this soundboard today.
I love it. I'm segueing you so perfectly that this relationship is just perfect. But yeah, the money talks, Nick. And you know, obviously, I think there's that charity money as well. I think it's $1 million to the winning team's choice.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that's per player, but. I'm not sure if it's the money thing, if it's the draft thing that's going to ensure a more competitive thing, but it's going to boil down to the same thing we said last week on the pod. Whoever plays defense for longer wins this game.
Mm.
Do the players want to get injured? Absolutely not. Do they want it to be competitive? Somewhat. But I want
people,
to... I think,
look, the reason I'm not giving this one high is for exactly that. People aren't going to play hard on a All-Star game for $100,000 when they're going to get injured. Like, the potential of getting injured and then... Like, they don't play for the money. Like, no NBA player was just like, oh, yeah, I'm just here for a payday. No, they love basketball. Like, you don't put that amount of effort into something if you don't love what you're doing. You know? Same to say for all professional sports. The money is nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure they... love being some of the richest people in the world. Don't get me wrong.
It's not bad.
But they do not play basketball for the money. I'm sure it would have started that as a kid. Like they play for fame, they play for fortune, they want to help out their families, a lot of like strong family connections because a lot of them come from nothing. But it all boils down to they love what they do. They love playing basketball. They love the competition. The competition comes from the club interplay, not from some all-star game that they've chucked together and throwing $100,000 at them when they're getting paid millions will not affect them at all. Like, I don't think it will.
I do like the dynamics of both teams. Like, you know, Joel Embiid on one team, Russell Westbrook on the other. So I'm hoping there's some petty wars, some dunks, some highlights, and some defense. You know, I'm really looking for the defense. But a guy who's also an all-star replacement, Paul George, was in the news. I think he was interviewed via Slam Magazine or Uproxx or one of them. And he came out with some a really enlightening quote. He said, Paul George is right, Nicholas, that ejections shouldn't be allowed in the NBA. Weird take here. What do you got?
Hashtag alternative fact. There is no sense to what he's saying. How many professional sports players, team players, you got green cards in hockey? I think
you've yellow, got, red.
Yeah, but it's not quite. It's a different. Yeah, but you've got red cards in soccer. You've got, you know, sin bins in rugby and sin bins in hockey as well, in ice hockey. These rules need to be in place. If you ask those players whether they should be in there, I would assume that most of them who don't have their heads screwed on correctly will say, yeah, just, you know, get rid of them, and then I can do whatever the hell I want on the court. No. There needs to be some policing. If you cross a line, if you don't respect the officials that are... And a lot of this has come from that. Like, he's saying that, you know, people get emotional in the games. They're going to yell. They're going to scream. And, okay, that's fine. But if a ref feels threatened in his job, then he has every right to throw them out. It's like, hey, you're being unruly. Yeah, get out.
Yeah,
get out, mate. Just to, get out.
Get out. That's Nick's catchphrase. Everyone knows that by now. For anyone who's listened to the pod for longer than a season. But yeah, I'm going to finish it. Yes, alternative fact. I'm going to finish with Paul George's quote before we go to a break, just to put some context to it. So he said, and I quote, "I honestly personally don't agree guys should be thrown out. This is our livelihood, what ultimately we get paid for and take care of our families for. Of course, we're going to be passionate. We're going to be emotional at times. It's part of the game. It's a guy we're part of." So yeah, if a guy or official is not making the right call, that results is in how the game is going to be played or results of that game. I'm not sure why the trigger is so quick to be pulled on officials ejecting guys. After the break, we got JB Team of the Week, maybe a little bit off topic, maybe a little bit of Rookie Watch. Stay tuned.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Head over on Facebook and give us a like.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Again, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Rate and review the show. Helps us out a bundle. But now, we'll go to JB Team of the Week. JB Team of the Week. Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where Jack and myself recognise players that have been outstanding in their position for the week just gone. Each week, five players get chosen, and the players who feature the most at the end will make JB Team of the Year, and the most individual votes will be JBT MVP. We are tallying those results every week, and we've got an interesting race on our hands, a little bit of a teaser. So at the point guard position, we've got James Harden, and he continues to make history. No surprises here that he has made JB Team of the Week for getting a world first 60-point triple-double. Stuff that just perfect, Jack.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you. First of his kind in NBA history, 60 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, to go with 4 steals and a block as well. Jesus Christ, mate. You've just solidified your MVP right there. At least for the meantime.
Pretty much.
At least for the meantime. At the shooting guard, we've got CJ. CJ McCollum's career high, 50 points. He did this in a crazy short amount of time, if I recall as well. Yes, it was. You think he did it in 29 minutes. He did that against the Bulls. In 29, if I actually read what's on the sheet, I would actually get what I've been doing. Anyway, that had him join Klay Thompson as the second player in the shot clock era to finish a game with 50-plus points on 30 fewer minutes played. Crazy wow. stuff there from CJ. Mate, I am clearly getting...
Give me a wow.
I'll give you a wow. I mean, that's two crazy performances.
Wow.
Double wow.
Wow.
Yeah, just go wow. And one more.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
why not?
Mate, you can take the front court.
Front court, as always, small forward LeBron James narrowly missed his second straight triple-double, posted 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 14 assists in a win over the Pistons, one of the few wins the Cleveland Cavaliers have been having lately. Giannis had a massive game himself against the Sixers to lead them to a nice win. 31 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block. And Andre Drummond in the center position had two absolutely all-star-worthy, all-NBA-worthy games. In an upset win over the Cavs, he had a nice 20-20 game, 21 points, 22 rebounds, with 7 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. That's just
seven assists as well. Like, his passing is an underrated piece in his game. He's great. I love him.
It has been a huge growth of his. And 3 steals and 3 blocks. But he upped that even more last night against the Heat. 23 points, 20 rebounds, 4 blocks and 4 steals. First player since Hakeem the Dream in 1989 to post such a stat line. Andre Drummond is doing some very nice things.
He's doing Hakeem stuff. That's brilliant. So, yeah, JB Team of the Week. James Harden, CJ McCollum, LeBron James, the Greek Freak, and newly appointed All-Star Andre Drummond. Good stuff. Let's get to Rookie Wash.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
All right, for those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we rank the rookies based on their performances each week, similar to JB Team. We award 1, 2, or 3 votes, and we'll tally them up at the end of the year to see who wins Rookie of the Year. All right, 1 point, 1 vote here. And in an impressive win over the Sixers, Jarrett Allen played an important role, posting 16 points, 12 rebounds, a career high for him, in only 26 minutes of play time. I think Allen has been on the fringe a few times in his Brooklyn role. He has been absolutely dynamite there, showing some love to the Nets there. But yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't appeared in more, Jack. You've been very unbiased. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I like to be on JBT. It is required, but also at the same time, there have been just so many ridiculous rookie performances. It's like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and Ben Simmons. They almost, like, every week prevent, like, a new rookie from getting in it. Like,
yeah,
Jared
I know,
Allen,
right?
Like,
yeah.
In 20 minutes, he'll get a double-double. John Collins will do the same. Like, both of these, John Collins and Jared Allen, have been low-key two of the best rookies from this class. Like, they've been absolutely awesome.
But next to the other three, it's sort of hard to shine. I mean, we'll get through the votes here, but, like, at the end of it, there's a big snub of a guy that we've mentioned before because of his, like, play against the Heat and when we mentioned his stat line. I mean, brilliant. But we choose the votes here. We are dictators here. 2 votes goes to Jason Tatum. Nicely contributed in the Celtics' tight win over the Nuggets. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. He also put up 27 points in a win against the Hawks. I mean, Jesus. Like, I see what you mean.
Very good at basketball.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in any other rookie class, Jared Allen would probably be shining. John Collins, like Lauri Markkanen. Like, Lauri Markkanen's praises have been sung a little bit more than the former's, but no surprises here, mate. You want to take the three? You want to take the 3 votes?
Yeah, no surprises at all, Nicholas. Donovan Mitchell had another solid showing this time in his team's best win of the season against the Warriors. He had 20 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. However, his real performance of the week came on Friday night in a dominant win over the Suns. Mitchell had 40 points in only 19 shots. He also had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. He set a Jazz record by swishing 7 three-pointers, and he became the first rookie with 6 30-point games in his first 50 career games since Griffin as well. And a final wild stat for you via Andy Bailey on Twitter. rookies in the three-point era who have had more than one 40-point game. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Larry Bird, Blake Griffin, Jay Vincent, and Donovan Mitchell. That's
take
it.
That for that.
Like, that is illustrious company. That's like the most illustrious. Unless like LeBron James is in there, like that's probably the only person who I was surprised not to see. But
yeah, Donovan Mitchell that's is brilliant. Yeah,
free.
It's more than one 40-point game in the rookie season is just it's phenomenal.
And we're not even halfway through this. We're just over halfway through the season. He could do it again.
Yeah, we haven't hit the All-Star break. Like there is no reason why he's become the focal point of this Jazz outfit. Gordon Hayward left.
And Rudy Gobert. Yeah. Rudy Gobert returning has been a real nice sort of compliment to him. I think the Jazz are sneakily building something here. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, that's a solid, solid foundation. I think that they could attract some free agents. But that's a... And yeah, the snub, I mean
Ben Simmons snub from Rookie Watch here. But we got to show some love to our Jarrett Allens of the world, you know.
We aren't racist to our own kind, Nicholas. We give love to the Americans, to the Canadians, to wherever all the rookies are from. Laurie Markkanen's from Finland. You know, we aren't biased in our Australian love as much as Adam Silver and the NBA coaches are to their own kind.
Yep. Love it, mate. Now, I don't know about you. I'm pretty sick of talking about basketball. So let's...
I don't like talking about basketball.
Yeah, I mean, who likes that? Let's... All right, well, with that, let's head to our off-topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now, the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What?
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off-topic.
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 Off-topic?
Yes, this week's off-topic, in light of some unfortunateness that has happened in the NBA league, so it's not completely off-topic, it's related to NBA in some regards, heaps and heaps of injuries this year, in the past like week, 2 weeks, so we thought we'd reminisce on our own injuries, which may be minor by comparison, but yeah, I mean... One that springs to mind for me, mate, is playing one-on-one against you. And this only happened probably last year. You humbly...
It was longer than that. It was before I went to London.
No, it wasn't. You came back for a visit. This is during one of your visits, mate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought it was before, before I left.
Came down one of his visits, this hot, heavy guy from fucking London. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out and bash Nick. So... We're playing ball and he tries to do this fucking uncoordinated as shit Euro step. Brings the ball from his left side to his right side and his elbows cop me in the face. My nose starts pissing blood. Like,
pissing blood.
literally, Jack. Like, I thought I've never been hit in the face like that so that my like instantly starts like draining blood.
I thought your mum would just, like, absolutely kill me. I'm very thankful
she's come out with the bloody meat tenderizer and the rolling pin. Mate, you're fucked.
That's pretty racist, but I guess she's your mum, so you can't be racist.
Oh, she's wog.
But yeah, that one definitely does come to mind. Your shoulder as well. Didn't you do a shoulder during,
outdoor soccer. Oh, yeah, that was painful. Had the ambulance come onto the pitch. I got injected with morphine on the pitch so they could actually get me into the ambulance. Yeah, not great.
That's fun.
And I love telling this story as well because I was playing the most amazing game of soccer. I scored like a 40-yard goal. So I've just absolutely pinged it. It's gone bottom corner off the post and in. So brought it back to 2-1. And then I set up... From a corner, I set up the goal to bring it back to 2-2. So I put it square on his head, and he's brought it back to 2-2. I was playing amazing. And then some dickhead from Kyneton, and Kyneton is some bloody country town in Victoria, decided, you know what, I've had enough of this dickhead. I'm going to tackle him. So he tackles me from behind. He's chopped my legs out from underneath me, and I've just fallen onto my collarbone, broken it in two places, And yeah, ambulance had to come onto the pitch and cart me away.
That's a lot more brutal than mine. Mine was, I would never deliberately hurt you, Nicholas. I love you too much to do that.
Yours was purely incidental.
Purely incidental. It always is. I have only love in my heart for you. But yeah, I've got a couple. I mean, literally, I didn't tell you because like it was only minor. Last week, I play basketball every Tuesday and Saturday over here in London. And on Tuesday, rolled my ankle. On Saturday, I rolled it again.
Oh, Jesus.
So I rolled my ankle. But they both were very minor rolls. So like I still wanted to play. So I left the session early. So it's coming back to full fitness now. And with the new Kyries, which have
ooh,
awesome ankles.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And shout out to the missus for that one. They are absolutely fire. But yeah, I've been concussed for those that
are. Oh, really? Shit, I didn't know that. God damn. Oh, I guess playing footy, you play AFL, it's pretty rough.
For those that haven't seen, definitely, I think Nick's posted on our Facebook before, like, definitely check out some AFL Aussie rules highlights. It is a brutal sport. And for a person as meager as myself, it can be quite brutal. So I remember bending down to pick up the football, and then my head just collides with this guy's knee.
Oh.
And I'm just out. I'm out for the count. Oh. And
that's
the first
chilling,
thing,
mate.
I'm lying down on the not the stretcher, but like, you know, when you're in the, on the massage sort of pad, the massage bed. And I'm looking up and like the fluorescent lights like come into my light. And literally the first thing I asked the trainer is like, no joke. I'm like, am I dead?
is this because... the light that everyone is everyone talks of? Should I be going towards it?
When you're concussed, like your brain is so fucked. And I mean, we've probably got a lot of NFL fans on our podcast as well, so they would know. So I would highly recommend not being concussed. And obviously, you know, I had mild amnesia a couple of days to sort of piece things together. People were like, oh, so you remember, do you remember, like, you know, you went down to pick up the ball? I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember that. So like, up to the point, it was just like a blank space.
It's like a brutal version of the Hangover.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, without the fun, you know, before effects of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But yeah, I've done ankles. I've done, you know, I've had a couple of knees, had a couple of shoulders. Concussion's probably my worst one, but you know, they all
broken bones, mate. Nothing like that.
Well, like I've been on a broken bone. Like my ankle has been like, you know, the ligaments have been strained to no hell.
To bugger,
and also,
yeah.
And I mean, I think I've shown you like my middle finger on my right hand since I was like 10 when I was playing just like, you know, kick to kick with dad at the park in my old house. Like I jarred my finger, but I jarred it so badly that it's now like almost. The joint is so, it's not straight. Like, you look at my finger, and I might post it on our Facebook just to give people a bit of an insight and like compare the pair. There's like a bump on my finger, like right at the top of, so like, I'm not sure if it's a tendon or if it's a ligament or whatever it is at the top of like the metatarsal, whatever you want to call it. It's not a very normal looking thing, but yeah, we've all done injuries. We love our sport here at JFBT.
Yeah,
you want to share us with some of your injury stories? We'd absolutely love to hear them. We'd read them out on the show. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. We might actually post something, some pictures for you on our Facebook page just to get you guys a real insight to the inner workings of our injury history. But Nick, do we spiel at the end now?
Yeah, you can spiel, mate. You've done well.
I appreciate it. You always do well, my friend. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Remember to rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out heaps. We appreciate those ratings. You can contact us at the JManJBT on Twitter. That's myself. And at JBT Nick is Nicholas. Also hit up at OTG Basketball, growing and growing their OTG trade deadline marathon. I had a new article about a DeAndre trade. Definitely check that one out. There's trades happening, trade articles happening every day over there. So if you're clamoring for some of that, goodness, get around it. We're also part of their podcast network, which is growing exponentially by the day. You can hear me on the Brooklyn Buzz. I'll be on there tonight. So make sure if you like my voice, you know, check it out. If you don't, you know, listen to something else. They've got other good podcasts as well. the awesome articles, awesome podcasts. We're on Facebook. We're growing there. Chaz, my brother Nick's best friend. Hopefully, we've got something cool happening for you there with a nice little compilation video, hopefully, before the All-Star break. So just search Just Ball Things. You'll find us. Be part of the 3,000 growing strong. Hit us up on email. We'll read them out on the show. We still haven't received them. We want them, guys. Come on, hit us up.
That's it.
JBDpodcast@gmail.com. But it is you guys who make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post and correspondence sending our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars. Keep balling.